Praise the Lord. Yes. I'm not going to be before you long, but I just bring forth the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, most gracious God, we just come thanking you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, love, and kindness. Thank you for leading us, guiding us, protecting us, providing for us, covering with the blood of Jesus. Father God, my action to continue speaking to the now to me, Father God, your word. Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I'll be coming out of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter 1 through 6. And this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay were marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this pot does, declared the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So this morning, if I have to put a title to a dope passage of scripture, it would be clay in the potter's hand. Clay in the potter's hand. Like I said, I'm not going to be before you long. If you need breakfast, you can get your money ready and go out and get your, as Pastor said, a Bojangle biscuit. I'm not going to be before you long. Okay, but here we have the parable of the potter. Jeremiah was at a very low point in his ministry. The nation of Judea had turned their back upon God. They were following false prophets. They were worshiping idol gods instead of the real God. Jeremiah was faced with the task of preaching repentance to a rebellious and backslidden nation. Now it was necessary for God to teach them a lesson, so he sent them down to the potter house. There are some valuable lessons in the parable for us today. Also, we will see some kinds of clay that God cannot use. We see God in this parable, we see God as the potter. God, he is a person. Our life is not in the hand of an invisible force, nor are we subject to what is called blind faith or the Big Bang Theory. Our life is in the hand of a person, the Almighty God. God is not just our creator. He is our Father, and he have a personal concern for the life of his children. Yes, yes. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. We are all are the work of thy hands." See, being in the potter's house, he has a plan. The potter always has a plan. Just as the potter has a plan for a lump of clay, so God has a plan for our life. He sees the finished product in his mind. As we view our life, they may seem a little contradiction to the word of God, but God knows the end from the beginning. That's why Paul said what he does in Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we see that the potter have a plan for the clay that he about to shape, or that he is shaping. So God have a plan for us. We are the clay. We are the man is clay in the potter hand. So we should be able and willing to yield to the potter, to form us, to shape us, to mold us into his will. The potter has the power. Not only does God have a plan for us, he also has the power to accomplish that plan in our life.
Amen.
But we have to yield to the potter. He is sovereign over all. God is sovereign over all. Romans 9 and 21 says, Have not the potter power over the clay, or the same lump to make one vessel into honorable or unto dishonor? He is patient. See, the potter, he is patient, thanks to God. The potter worked with the clay, tenderly molding and shaping it. In the same manner, God patiently direct our life, seeking it to fulfill his will. It takes time to make a worthwhile product, and God is willing to wait.
Amen. Thank you, my Lord.
Consider these men, Abraham, David, Joseph, the disciples, and Paul. These men and we of clay. As clay is our composition. In Psalms 103 and 14 said, for he knows our frame.
Yes.
He remembered that we are dust. In Genesis 2 and 7, it said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Clay is dust mixed with water. It is no great value in itself. Sometimes you can go out and find clay in your yard or particular places you want to plant something. You find that clay is hard to dig up, it's hard to work. It's hard to do anything with until you pour that lime and compost and work it and break that clay down. That's the way our life has to be, thanks to God. We are clay with the will. Although God have a wonderful plan for our life, but you will never see that plan because of your own free will. You got to yield to the will of God. But when that clay is workable and moldable and be willing to yield, it have the greatest value. It have the greatest quality. The greatest quality of clay is yielding. As it yields in the hand of the potter, it can become something of great value. If the clay fail to yield, it become marred. Disobedience hinders the work of God in our life. God's plan for us can be spoiled by our own disobedience, by our own will, by our own selfishness. The same truth of a nation, of a church, even of a family. No greater danger can be done than that of an unyielding life, an unyielding clay. If your will is to not yield to the will of God, it is worth it. It is marred. It is useless. So another parable that it spoke of was the life on the wheel. See, the parable wheel spins swiftly. The speed of the wheel is controlled by the potter himself. So in other words, as we declare, God controls our life if we are willing to yield to him. God set the speed. Sometimes we might, things happen in our life that we might not understand, or we want to happen, or we need, or circumstances happen, and we might say, well, man, I need this now. But it's God's speed, it's God's timing that we have to yield to. He might not be there right that moment that you need it, but he is right there on time. See, because the wheel, it is controlled by the one that in control. Three factors in the shape of the clay are the speed of the wheel, the pressure applied by the hand of the potter, and the yielding of the clay. See, our life is like the potter wheel. Our life are not controlled by chance or by luck. See, a lot of people saying, man, it must be my lucky day, or it must be, look, I did this, or I found that. No, but it's by the chance of God. It was God, not by luck, not by chance. He arranged the circumstances of life that mold us. So whatever circumstances that's in our life, that's a test for us to yield to the potter. We may at times wonder about the circumstances of our lives or think that God has been unfair to us, but one day we will realize the truth in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So no matter what is going on, no matter what's happening in your life, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if the child of God and yield to his will, we know everything will work out fine. Most important thing about a wheel is not the size. It is the center. If a wheel is on center, then everything will be well balanced. But if the wheel is off-centered, if God is off-centered in our life is going to be off-balanced. If God is in the head of our life, is in the center of our life, is in control of our life will be balanced. We might not see that balance, or we might not think that that balance of life is there, but if God is in the center, we have that balance. The devil is defeated. No matter what monkey wrench, so to speak, that he would throw at you, if God is first in your life, he the center of your life, the focus is on him, we is willing and yielding to the potter, no matter how fast or how slow the wheel is turning, our life will be balanced. God knows what is best for our life. The primary concern of our life should not be longevity of the life, but our primary concern should be whether or not our life was on center with God. If we living our life to the fullest, if we yielding to the potter. The center of the life of a child of God is Jesus Christ. Matthew 6 and 33, very familiar scripture. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah. Now that we see the significance of each object in the parable of this scripture, so we also need to know what kind of clay that is unusable to God. When people become born dry, there's a born dry clay, or clay that is bone dry. That is unusable clay. When people become born dry, God cannot do anything, absolute nothing with them. They are the clay with a will. We have to be careful, saint, because we are clay with a will. So if we use our own will and still yielding to the will of God, we become that bone dry clay. The master potter can no longer shape the clay to his likeness. There's only one way for the pot like this to be used again. It must be completely crushed. And the process of molding must start all over again. In Hosea 2:6, therefore I will block her path with thorn bush. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. In other words, what they're saying here, the prophet writes had left him to go into the world. She was what the Bible called a type of sin that the children of God have become. This shows Israel's relationship with God. They have backslidden. They have become a bone dry people. Hosea prayed for his wife, and the Lord answered. What is being said here is God was trying to break her will so she would come back home. Church, this is why a lot of time when a person goes back into the world has some time to hit the rock bottom so before they could look up. Why? Because God is taking that drawn by part. He has taken that bone dry part and he is crushing it. He is reshaping it so it can be used again. The kind of clay God cannot use is a dry bone clay. The second clay that God cannot use is a clay that lack moisture. The clay that lack moisture is clay that still exists but cannot be used. The clay is just soft enough to exist, but not soft enough to be moldable to the pot of use. This is a place where many believers are today. They have just enough relationship with God to know they are saved and forgiven, but it's not moist enough to be yielded and to be molded and to be worked. So in other words, they got that relationship to be dangerous. They have that religion to be dangerous, enough knowledge to work and say things to believe, let people believe that they got it all together. They know what they're talking about, but they still don't have it all together. They have, they know they do just enough to make sure they will be saved when time comes. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15 indicated that from these scriptures there are many believers who never allow the power to mold them. They invest in being satisfied to themselves here on earth. They not worry about the kingdom of God. It's like a baby. It's mine, mine, me, mine. They just think about themselves. They're not thinking about the kingdom of God. Like I said, it's the dangerous piece of clay, the clay that lack moisture. That's dangerous. They're the ones that, yes, believe in themselves. They want everything for themselves. They don't think about what is important for the kingdom of God. These people, you know, they never surrender their will to God. They live life for themselves. They are bad. They aren't bad people, but they refuse to allow the potter to mold them. So we have to be careful, saints of God, not to be like a moisture. We got to let that moisture work in it, because sometimes when clay get hard, I don't know if back in the days when I was in school and stuff, we used to have clay, and we used to, at playtime, you know, we used to have clay, and we mold it and shape it and everything. Sometimes the clay set out, you don't put it back in a little container, it'll get hard. But as you put the clay back in the container and add water to it, it'll get moist again. So we, thanks to God, we have to be like that clay, keep that moisture in. We have to keep it under contained. We have to keep it under control where it can be workable, it can be molded, it can be shaped, it can be yield to God's will. The times when they get committed is when their world start falling apart. These the type of clay that's when things start falling apart, they want to start God to mold them and shape them, come into their world, put me back on the wheel, you know, take control of my life. I'll yield to you, Lord. Whatever you say is okay, I will do. But sooner they get back on the wheel and everything start looking right and start feeling right and they start getting a little piece of money in their pocket, their bills are being paid. Lord, I'm finna put you back on the shelf now. You know, you can take me off the wheel. I'm good enough. You know, so we have to be careful about how we act and how we yield to the will of God. What would make clay soft again? Water. All throughout scriptures, the Holy Spirit is referred to water. If you want to become soft again, you must allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, through you, and out of you. You must begin in your life, you must yield your life to Him. You must listen to the conviction of your spirit. You must be willing to give up your will to the potter's will. If you want to be softened, you must say, Lord, come and begin to pour your Holy Spirit over me again and take control of my life. One way you can see whether or not you fit into this category is by asking yourself, what am I truly doing for the kingdom of God? What am I truly doing for the kingdom of God? The more one yield is the more one does something for the kingdom of God. As we yield, we're taking self out of the picture and we put more and more God's kingdom, God Himself, into the picture. We're reaching out to others. It ain't about me and what I can get out of it, but it is about what I can do for the kingdom to bring more into the kingdom. Okay, another piece of clay that is unworkable is clay hidden with air. In other words, clay hidden with sin. This type of clay have went through every process just fine. The potter threw the clay on the wheel. He completed the pot. It looked beautiful on the outside, but the final test always tells the potter whether or not the clay were pure. Only the fire can reveal the last defect. Every now and then, some clay have hidden air pockets that you cannot see or feel. When the potter put the clay into the fire. It heated up, and the air trapped in between that span and this span of the pot. There's no difference in our life with us believers by the spin as we look, we get. So in other words, thanks to God, when the potter put the pot into the fire, it would shine on the outside, but the inside is brittle. It is because the air, the sin is trapped in. It's trapped into that pot, so it's easy to break. On the outside, it looked nice and beautiful, shining, whatever, because that's the gloss or the fine made it look all nice and pretty. But the inside, it is easy damaged. You put anything into that pot, it is easy shattered. So that is like we are, thanks to God. If that type of pot, if we have sin, we might look good on the outside, but that sin inside is destroying our spiritual man. It's destroying us inside out. So in other words, when people look at us, they might say, wow, that person really got it together. Praise God. You know, he worshiped, he praised, he said the right words, he do the right thing, but yet and still on the inside, he have that sin that he hadn't confessed and not let it out and acknowledge that I have this sin within me. So that is a sin that the air pocket that got to be taken care of. These individuals know that deep in their lives there are some hidden pockets of sin. They must expose that they must expose to God, not necessarily to men, but confess it to God and everything. And God is just to forgive the sin. Matter of fact, He already forgave the sin, but you have to confess your sin. You got to acknowledge, in other words, you got to acknowledge your sin, thank God. You got the knowledge, because the sin is already forgiven. But you just can't go around, well, God forgave my sin. I ain't got to do that. Yes, you do. You got to confess it. You got to confess it. Expose it. You ain't got to expose it to men, but expose it to God, because He already know. But you just confess and cleansing your conscience, cleansing your inner man. No one else can see your sins, but they are there. It is hidden sin. It could be anything such as lust, pride, lack of integrity, jealous, anger. All these is this type of sin that sometimes people can't see. You know, you are a good cover up. Sometimes they can't see it. Because if you're out there lying and stealing, yeah, they're going to see it. But, you know, some people, they so good a pickpocket, they can pickpocket and you never know. So, so it's different type of sins that you do. We have to be careful, thanks to God, how we live and yield to that sin. We got to confess it. When God began to turn up the heat, hidden things are revealed. Matthew 10:26. Do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. So, in other words, God knows your sin anyway. So don't try to hide it. So you might can hide that sin from men, but you cannot hide it from God. So that piece of clay, just go on and let it out, let God mold you and yield to His will and everything. Just let everything out. If you notice that I'm on the wheel, God is using me, He is working with me, just go on and let, Lord, I know you know, but this so-and-so in my life, I need, your help. I need you to forgive me for this and everything. That way, that product can come out on the outside looking good and on the inside looking good. Man will see you good, looking good on the outside, and God will see you looking good on the inside. So, in other words, we want that pot to be looking good, complete on the outside and the inside. See, God has his way on turning up the fire in our life. If you have hidden sin, you are a vessel that God cannot use until you confess it and turn from it. Not only should you confess your sin, but turn away from that sin. Psalms 32 and 5 says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin." So when we confess our sin, God is just to forgive it. You can't cover up your sin. No matter how hard you try, you cannot, saints of God, cover up your sin. So you might as well confess it, release it, and go on with your life. Also in Proverbs 28 and 13 says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whosoever confess and renounce their find mercy." So in other words, when you living with sin within you, knowing that you have sinned, you ain't gonna prosper. That's the word. So it'd be best, thanks to God, to just, if you know that you're doing something or something in your life that is not according to the word of God, repent, confess it, and turn away from it. Yes. So you can continue to be prosperous. Not only prosperous in money, but in health, long life, anything. You know, prosperous, it can be anything that contains to the promise of God. So you won't prosper. Yes, you heal, but you won't be able to do the things that God has promised in his word for you to do. You can do some, you know, because God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So you can do some things happen. You might want to get by with just enough, but we want, as saints of God, more than enough. We want that abundance. We want that overflow where not only we can just take care of ourselves, but to take care of the work of the God kingdom. See, God has his way of dealing with us. Hidden sin is nothing to play with. This is why Jesus constantly called the Jewish leader vipers and hypocrites, because on the outside, they look like polished vessels, but on the inside, they were full of hidden sins. You may fool people that is around you, but you will never, ever be able to fool God. We see that, saints of God, even though that the things that we do, we say, we still have to be obedient and yield to the word of God. So in final conclusion, Jeremiah saw that the vessel made of clay was marred. He could see the nation of Judea rallied at the unyielding rebellion vessel, but that wasn't the lesson to be learned. The potter did not cast away the vessel. He made it over again. So the lesson today, saints, no matter what type of clay you are, God is able to remold you, reshape you, and reuse you in his kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, Almighty God, we just thank you for the word. We thank you, Father God, for leading and guiding us in order in our step. We ask you, Father God, just continue to cover, lift us up, protect us. Father God, we ask thee, Father God, for to continue. Lay your hand upon us, Father God. Bless us, anoint us, O God, in thy word with understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.